It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Alex Rogers. How you doing, man?
Hey, good, man. How you doing? Appreciate you having me.
Good. So Alex is a singer-songwriter out of South Carolina, I believe. Is that correct?
Originally, yeah. I live in the Florida panhandle now. So.
Oh. Okay, right on. That's quite the move.
Yeah, for sure. It's like from beach to beach, kind of. Yeah, I grew up in a small town called Loris, kind of right outside of North Myrtle Beach. Nice. So that kind of coastal area of South Carolina.
Okay, I got you. Hell yeah. So what have you been up to, man? I know it's the beginning of the new year, so I'm sure people are getting going, whether it be shows or anything. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, most recently I did the 30A Songwriters Festival. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but...
I've heard of it, yeah.
I don't know this for a fact, but it's got to be one of the largest in the world at this point. Yeah. It's just like enormous. There's almost 200 artists and 30 venues and all the stuff. So just wrapped that up 2 weekends ago, I want to say, okay. Mid-January. So that kind of started us off, and then yeah, just been playing, writing as much as humanly possible and kind of trying to get ahead of things for sure.
Hell yeah, man. So I guess just so people get familiar with you, we start at the beginning, man. So like what got you in the music maybe, or what like made you want to make that step to make that a career of yours?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, long-winded answer probably, but like what initially got me into music was, first of all, my dad was a guitar player, growing up. All by ear, unfortunately. So he was like a horrific teacher. So I kind of had to like just figure it out, watch him and try to do it. But, so I've always been interested in music, even from like, you know, 3 and 4 years old, just watching mm-hmm. him play. But then, you know, the first time I ever played in front of people was church, which is, you know, probably relatively common. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's always been kind of in the back of my mind, and I sort of am doing things in reverse because I kind of, you know, went to college and took a corporate job and did all the white picket fence type stuff. And then, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years kind of decided to kind of dive into music specifically, but hard to answer because it's always been there, you know, mm-hmm. Just kind of in the back of my mind. And then as of late, it just started like, you know, writing specifically started kind of clicking for me. And yeah, I just decided to kind of hit the ground running. Better late than never.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's funny you say that because, you know, I hear like from all these different artists about when they like actually like really, you know, dove into it to like, this is what I want to do. And it could either be, you know, they right out of high school or like right out of college and so on. So yeah. did you find it like, was it hard to, I don't know if catch up is the right term, but to like really get back into the swing of things like that?
Not really, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I guess I should have said like, I was in a band my last like basically full year of college. Mm-hmm. So it kind of bit me then. I was like, you know, let's, you know, while we're here, while I'm with a bunch of like-minded guys and can, you know, orchestrate can play in basically any bar down there, let's go ahead and give it a shot. And then that kind of spawned, I moved to Atlanta initially after college and I was in a band for 4 or 5 years there. So yeah, I mean that in terms of performing, I guess, like, I don't mm-hmm. feel like I necessarily had to catch up, but yeah, like getting into the who's who, if you will, and all that kind of stuff, particularly in Nashville, you know, definitely, you know, I had to sort of catch up in that regard. But it turns out it happens kind of fast, you know, if you meet the right people and, you know, are doing the right things and just playing as much as possible. So yeah, yes and no, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it sounds like, I mean, hell, like if you've been in Atlanta and then like you were from South Carolina, it sounds like you've been all over the place, correct? Kind of like
sure.
Just throughout this. So I guess if you could describe whichever scene, like, because you have like the Texas scene, you have the Nashville scene, you have all these different scenes, and where you like really got your legs, I guess, like wherever that may be along your career, like how would you describe that scene? Like, was it like a real community aspect to it, or was it kind of hard to get into? How was that whole process?
Yeah, so I'd say the band in college is kind of an anomaly, because like your fans are built into, you know, all your friends and the other four guys' friends. So that was just like kind of, you know, getting ramped up, more or less. And then, yeah, in Atlanta, kind of the same, but the Atlanta music scene, you know, is, or you may not know, but it's just kind of like a little bit all over the place, like super eclectic. So you can kind of hear and see any sort of genre you can imagine in that place at a given time. Unlike Nashville, when it's, you know, I mean, Nashville is obviously, you know, getting a little broader as we speak, probably. But typically, you know, your mind goes to like country or, you know, something in that vein. But yeah, I mean, Atlanta specifically definitely like probably informed the way I sing, maybe more so than anything else. That and South Carolina. I mean, it's just kind of, yeah, it's hard to say which scene more so I like identify with. So yeah, I don't know if that was an answer.
No, that makes sense.
Dissertation, but
no, that makes sense, man. And like when you mentioned Atlanta scene, I'm from like Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area. So our scene here really is just bands passing through. We don't have like a present scene, but sure. I've gotten more familiar with some of the artists, at least of recent, out of Atlanta, and it's pretty popping, man. Like I didn't, definitely. I would never think, like I never thought about it, but like the rock scene too, especially like there's some guys that are just phenomenal coming out of there.
Yeah. 100%. It's where, you? Yeah, it seems okay, like it's cool. Where a cool. lot Sorry. Of, it- yeah, yeah. Yeah. It seems like where a lot of people kind of get their start, you know, whether they're from there or not, you know, regardless of whatever their genre they're trying to, you know, approach.
For sure.
So it's cool.
Yeah. And with your music, from what I've listened to, I was kind of surprised. I didn't know what to expect. And like with like the Raised Rowdy, like crowd, I get a lot of, it's usually either country or rock that I get on here. And hearing your stuff, like I was kind of like surprised. It's hard to put a label on it, which, you know, we don't need labels nowadays. You could sound like anything you want to sound, whether it's good or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess, how would you, if you could, describe your own sound, if you had to put any kind of label on it or anything?
Yeah. It's almost impossible. You know, it's like, it's like you just string together some adjectives and hope for the best, I guess. I don't know. I started kind of using the phrase Soul Carolina. Because I don't know, I tend to, the way I sing kind of lends itself to more soul, you know, Southern rock type sound, definitely like my influences, but then, you know, there are hints of country, cause I'm from South Carolina. I can't help the way I say some things.
Yeah.
But yeah, just, I would say like Southern rock, alternative country, maybe a hint of blues.
The soul aspect I could see for sure. That was my first thought when I listened to it. Especially, I think it was your second one you put out.
Yeah, Hand Me Down.
Hand Me Down. Yeah, it was definitely Hand Me Down. I played that one first and I was like, it's different, you know, like soulful, different. I don't know what they call it, but
I'm with you. When people ask me that, I normally say like, what do you think? I'm trying to gather all the words and I'm just going to make a collage of all these adjectives and call it my genre.
For sure, man. So as an artist, whether it's more on the business side of things or what, I don't know. You could probably tell me that when you do have a sound like that, do you have trouble finding like a market for it? Cause as you said, Nashville, a lot of it leans country, and maybe I'm just going to say Atlanta cause we were talking about it. Maybe Atlanta leans more rock. Like, do you ever find it kind of difficult to find not really an audience, but like a specific, like, I guess, market to push it towards or anything like that?
Well, not, I mean, not necessarily. Well, you know, obviously now these days with Spotify analytics and all that, I can see exactly where, you know, the majority of listeners are based. But yeah, I guess to your point with the Raise Rowdy stuff and, you know, I've played their rounds and their showcase several times at this point. Mm-hmm. I love it. I think everyone sees me and is expecting country, like, mm-hmm. you know, country, yep. as you would describe it now. And it's just not that. So I think that reaction is cool and like mm-hmm. refreshing for some people. Definitely yeah. for me. Like, I think it's cool to look out there and just be like, they're like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
What's this guy doing? Yep. So yes and no. I think it takes people by surprise, like you said, but I kind of love that about it. And then you kind of weed it out from there. Like, you know, if they're into it, you know, you find out very quickly.
For sure. And I think, like, I mean, I'm not the first one to ever say this, but standing out, you know, at a writer's round, being the one guy to stand out, or just in general, being able to stand out among your peers and having that kind of like, oh shit, like this is different. I mean, yeah. that's the name of the game, really, especially in, like, you could be a great writer, a great, you know, artist in Nashville, but like, I feel like if you don't stand out, like, it's going to be harder to really get yourself out there. Is that kind of how that goes?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, you know, the good comes with the bad, I guess, in that regard. Like, if you're there to see, you know, what you would call country at this point, you may not be that into it, but you may be pleasantly surprised by something a little different. I mean, I'm not saying mm-hmm. like my leaps and bounds different than everybody I'm on stage with, right. but it just kind of comes out, you know, it just becomes like a little more obvious that, you know, I'm not in that, you know, true mm-hmm. vein, like straight down the middle, I guess I would say. Yeah. So yeah, it's cool. It's been a learning experience for sure, but I like it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. So do you, get out to Nashville a lot? Do you ever go out there, right? Like what do you usually do when you're out there?
Yeah. So I go out there at least a week out of every month at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just try to play out writer's rounds and showcases and whatever, you know, kind of hits my plate. And then in between time, I write, you know, as much as possible as well. So sort of kind of, you know, getting my footing, or, you know, have gotten my footing in some ways in the co-writing circles.
Yeah.
But yeah, thus far, I mean, every song that I have, you know, currently recorded and, you know, plan on releasing in this next year, I wrote by myself, but I'm trying to, like, you know, kind of change that for the next project.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the goal, is just to kind of like meet and write with as many people as possible in the interim.
Okay. So is that like a newer thing for you, co-writing, or was that kind of hard to get into at first? Because when I talk to a lot of these songwriters, I'd imagine when you first start writing, it's like, these are your babies kind of thing, right? These songs yeah. are. So bouncing it off two or three people, I would imagine would be a little like iffy at first.
Yeah, totally. It's well, as of now, I would say like within the last year and a half or so, I've kind of like dove into it, the co-writing thing, mm-hmm. more so than ever. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll put it, I like going into a co-writing room with like no agenda
mm-hmm.
Whatsoever. Versus like having a song half written and bringing it to somebody. Like I'm at the point now where I'm like trying to see who would be the best fit to like finish this thing out.
Okay.
And try to like be patient and wait on that sort of thing. Right. But yeah, it's kind of funny at first, you know,
mm-hmm.
you hear all the analogies of like speed dating and all that. It's, it is pretty funny. Like it's not every day you like run into somebody in a bar and you're like, you know, pour your heart out to them and to the key of G or whatever, you know?
I never thought of it that way. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But as long as, like, you know, you're both there to do the same thing, I guess, if you look at it like that. So it all works out as long as you're, you know, willing to work with someone.
Right. Yeah, man. And this is me just being kind of ignorant to how it works, because all the other Rage Rowdy crew are in Nashville and they know how the whole thing works. And I'm just kind of up here two states away. But when it comes to co-riding and getting into a riding room, like, what starts that? Is it like networking? Like, you just run into people at an event? Does someone set it up for you? How does that usually unfold? Like, getting in that situation?
Typically, yeah. It's like you meet, well, if you're in a rider's round, you know, there's normally at least two other riders in the round.
Okay.
And if you kind of, you know, like what they're doing, or, you know, like their lyrics, or, you know, something about what they're bringing to the table, a lot of times I just kind of, you know, I'm either asked if I would like to ride or vice versa. So it's pretty, that's a good place to start, honestly, because, you know, it's already, the ice is already broken by the fact that you've just sat next to each other and played some songs. So it's not as, like, you know, cold and weird just walking into a room being like, is this dude even any good, you know?
Yeah.
But that, and, you know, old fashioned, like, sliding into the DMs. If it's someone you like, you admire, and, you know, I just give it a shot here and there, and kind of see what happens. But
yeah.
I mean, it's effectively like, you know, it's effectively like approaching a girl you'd like to date. I mean, it really is. It's like, I really like what you got going on.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I understand what it you really mean.
Is. As I was talking, I was like, yeah, I guess this is like, yeah. It's how you, it's how you approach the women too, I guess.
Yep. No Tinder involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess if you slide in the DMs, it's kind of like Tinder. But anyway, I get what you mean.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
But and I don't want to keep rambling, but it's just funny because Nick, who I'm assuming you might have met Nick before, Matt, who run Rage Rowdy, to do the rounds.
Yeah,
and
for
stuff.
Sure. But, I know Matt a little better, but yeah, I've met both of them for sure.
Yeah, and they've told me, like, since I started doing Rage Rowdy, it's like I tell them, I'm like, how do you know all these people, like, of different, you know, different genres, different scenes, everything? And they say it's literally about just showing up, like you said, like, to an event, just networking, getting involved and stuff like that. And before you know it, it's like, it's crazy how many, I guess, contacts you have, how many, like,
totally,
they become friends, some of them. It's really cool how that works, especially in a city like Nashville.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, it's a rare place because 90% of the population, that might be overkill, but has the same agenda, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're all trying to get somewhere, or somewhere adjacent to somewhere. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It makes way more sense to just be open and talk to people there, because nine times out of 10, you know, either you can do something for them, they can do something for you, or you can collaborate in some way that everywhere else, you know, you got to have a 30-minute long conversation before you get to feeling like, you know, this could go somewhere.
Yeah, no, you're right. And
yeah,
and I'd have met, and on the other side of that, because I mean, you don't live in Nashville, but if you go there a week, a month, you're definitely there a lot.
Yeah,
so,
I feel like I do sometimes, but
yeah. So with that, the good part about, like, yeah, everyone's there, they want to do the same thing. Is there ever, like, not a scary element to it, but like a competitive element when you go in and you're like, all right, like, these are all like peers and friends, but also it's like, I need to be a little competitive towards, like, I'm sometimes I wonder what the vibe is, because, like, it's great to be friendly, but also you have to have some kind of, like, drive, like, I gotta be better than this guy to reach this next level. Maybe is that a thing?
Maybe to some people, I don't know. I've never really caught that feeling from anyone, just because, like, if you're, well, music's, first of all, is so subjective that, like, in your mind, you might think someone's better than you, but, you know, there's 1,000 other people over there that do not think that.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't feel that ever really. You know, I think everyone tries to kind of stay in their lane and just kind of lift up each other, because, and particularly if it's someone like you've written with or whatever else, because that only, you know, brings your music and your stuff more attention, you know, through them listening to that or whatever. So, yeah, I don't really get that. I get, like, before going as often as I do now or whatever, I kind of thought that's kind of, you know, what I was going to encounter, but so far, so good.
Yeah. 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 And just from, like, just seeing other artists at, like, rounds, you know, connect with each other, just from, like, a fan point of view, I guess it was surprising, because I spent a lot of time in, like, Texas and Oklahoma. So I got more familiar, I guess, with, those out, guys and gals out there. And it just seemed like such, like, a huge, like a family almost. And then I was like, and then there, you know, out there, they have the Nashville versus Texas thing that I don't think will ever go away. So there, a lot of them are like, you know, screw Nashville sometimes, not all of them, but, you know, you have those few, but then, and then I went to Nashville for the first couple of times. I'm like, it's the same damn thing. They're all here for the same thing. They all love each other. They all want to work with each other. It's just such, Nashville seems like such a scarier place, because that's like where the quote unquote machine is, you know, the industry, all that stuff, the big scary words that people like to use.
Right.
Which I'm sure there's truth to, but it is a pleasant surprise, I think.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's talk about, your music, man, that came out. We have, and I feel like an idiot. I can't read my own handwriting. I write down the songs just so I could for sure remember them, but
you're not the only one. Don't worry about it.
Hand me down and understanding, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, first off, like I said earlier, I love them. They blew me away. Quite frankly, it surprised me. And I listened to it multiple times. I can't wait for what's to come, which we'll get to that too. But with the release of those, I guess, is there any theme or story, anything like behind the song that you might want to share? Either of them, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I guess I should just say, like, so yeah, there's a so technically I've recorded a 5-song EP as kind of like my debut solo project. But I'm, you know, I'm releasing them as singles to, you know, get the Spotify algorithm going or whatever. All the people smarter than me tell me to do. So I'm just like, all right. But yeah, so eventually it'll be a cohesive, like, work of, you know, EP. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say work of art. That sounds crazy. but so yeah, Understanding was the first one I, you know, released back in October. It has less of like a specific story, I guess, but realistically I was kind of sitting there and several of my friends like have kind of started getting divorces. You know, and as a, you know, relatively young person, it just kind of catches you off guard when your friends are going through it. So that just kind of started the thought process of like, you know, what could I have done? What did I do? What could I have done differently? That sort of thought is kind of what led me to writing Understanding. Just kind of like after the aftermath of kind of thinking back on, you know, action and inaction and how it affected the relationship as a whole sort of deal. And then Hand Me Down, that's, you know, that song is pretty cut and dry, honestly, or at least I kind of wanted it to be lyric wise, but that's more or less about like generational mental health and, you know, coming from a place that was kind of riddled with mental health issues and addiction issues and things of that nature. And then having children of your own and kind of thinking to yourself, like, it seems like everybody always thinks about the good aspects of themselves, like what they like about themselves and that they hope they pass those down. But Hand Me Down was kind of like a revelation. I have a 2-year-old son, so I wrote that when my wife was pregnant with him. And that's what kind of got me thinking. I was like, it's sort of where the pessimism and the optimism of having a child kind of met for me. And that was kind of like the thought process behind that as well.
Okay. Yeah, I got you, man. And Hammy, I can't stress enough. Like that one, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not, a songwriter or anything, but when it comes to like, you have the lyrical aspect and then like the rest of it. So like the instrumental aspect of it.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes, artists can't really mesh them. Like they mesh fine, but like some of them really go like, wow. Okay. That it fits the mood, I guess is a hippie sure. way of saying it, but
yeah,
it fits
yeah.
the vibe.
Yeah.
But, that was the first thing I thought of. And, I was wondering, and obviously you're a songwriter, and do you have more of a focus on the lyrical aspect than you do the instrumental stuff? I only asked this because like it really did mesh very well. And I don't know if you like had help from anyone else. I'm curious yeah. as to how that song came to be.
Totally. Yeah. So kind of going back to like watching my dad play guitar and him being totally by ear taught, like had zero theory. I'm mm-hmm. like even worse. I don't know what I'm playing. So I say that to say like, I definitely like am lyric first probably.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I'll write off of like a riff that I've just, started playing. But mm-hmm. that's kind of few and far between. So I'm lyric first for sure. And I know in my head how I want it to sound, but like with zero technical or any background whatsoever on how to make it sound like that. We went in the studio and I had a producer and sound engineer and, the band also was kind of like, I just kind of like said words, like I was trying to describe as best as possible, like how I envisioned it. And then they just kind of took it and ran with it. So
mm-hmm.
yes and no. I mean, I like sort of,
yeah.
I know what I don't want it to sound like 100%. That's me. I'm like, no. But yeah, just kind of having to articulate it and sort of like, just make sure we land the plane is sort of
yeah
how it goes for me. But I appreciate yeah. that's a huge compliment, obviously, because mm-hmm. we kind of, yeah, you're worried. You get worried in the studio because you're like, again, if you're like someone like me and you hear it a certain way, and then you're kind of like just having to articulate that to a group of people and you just hope mm-hmm. they get it right. But yeah, they got it right on all of them. So
yeah,
it's a good group of guys.
Yeah. For sure, man. It's excellent. I wish I had the musical vocabulary to say my questions better. I was just like, the vibe, does it?
No, really yeah, no, dude, you're good. But that's exactly how I sound in the studio. So no worries.
Awesome. But so who do you record with and like, where do you record? What's that set up like?
Yeah, I recorded it at Sound Emporium in Nashville.
Okay.
With Michael Walter is my co-producer and sound engineer. He kind of like double dips. And then I actually recorded the whole EP with Lainey Wilson's touring band.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, sort of, became friends through, the zeitgeist more or less. And then,
mm-hmm.
I had initially been talking to, Kevin, who's her like auxiliary player. He plays everything. He's phenomenal. And then one thing led to another and the whole band just was like, we'll just do it. Cause we play together every day. So I was like,
awesome.
Be my guest.
Yeah.
So those guys definitely came through for me.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's cool to hear. They definitely matched well. It sounds great. So, I guess what can you tell us about what's to come? You said you recorded an EP, releasing them as singles. So, what can you tell us about what we got to look forward to?
Yeah. So, next single is most likely going to be released by the end of February. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to just like nail down dates and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's going to be called Need I Remind You.
Okay.
It's a love song to kind of break up the sad soulful blues deals. And Yeah, and then I'm forecasting that the entire all five songs as a whole will be out, you know, probably by summer of 2025. Okay. And then, yeah, in the meantime, just playing them out as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know, spreading the word that way. Getting ears and eyes is the name of the game.
For sure, man. I can't wait to hear it, dude. And what about the, I ask this on every interview because I always love seeing the reaction from the guests. So like with the newfound tool of social media being such a gigantic deal, I feel like a lot of artists take to it very quick. Some of them absolutely hate it. Some of them, you know, a mixture of both. So yeah. Has that been something that you've been able to dive into relatively easy, or what's your whole view on the whole TikTok sphere and promoting it on socials and all that?
Yeah. I don't love it. I mean, I didn't like dive in, but it's awesome. I mean, you can't deny the fact that it's like an incredibly useful tool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've just found myself kind of like trying to collaborate with as many, like, you know, way more talented visual people than I, mm-hmm. to kind of get my message across. I mean, I'll set up a camera and record me playing a song. No problem. Like, that's enjoyable for sure. Yeah. But yeah, it seems like people keep raising the stakes, and like they're going to start handing out Oscars or something for Instagram reels or something. But I wish people would chill out. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm not here to like keep up with the Joneses when it comes to like social media type deals. But I do love it in the fact that it, you know, brings people that would never hear you, would never hear of you, you know, basically right to your doorstep. So I can't knock it, but yeah, I'm certainly not like a natural social media, you know, influencer guy.
Yeah, it seems like a nightmare to deal with personally. I mean, I kind of do it with my stuff, but I don't have any stakes really. I'm not making music or living off, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, it's just like I could throw a meme out there that might get some likes and that's the end of my day. But like, yeah, it seems like it's a necessary evil, I guess, but that's just the world we're in. You know, can't just go out and pass flyers out, sell CDs anymore. Yeah. I guess. Unless you go to a show, then you could get the CDs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely like, you know, you have to adjust your, it's just a new part of the business, new-ish, you know. Yeah. It's not new by any means, but like the focus on it from everyone is, mm-hmm. you know, just grows by the day, it seems like. So, I certainly don't stress over it. Like, but I do think it's in the back of my mind constantly. I'm like, what I need to, how many days has it been, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But no, it's good. I have some people around me that kind of keep me in check and remind me to throw my face up there every once in a while.
Yeah, good to have a good team on your side, man. But, yeah. Before we head out, man, and by the way, thanks for hopping on. This was fun talking to you. Before we head out, I guess since it's only January, we got a whole year ahead of us. When it comes to whether it be shows or what you want to put out, anything, do you have any goals in mind that like off the top of your head that you want to accomplish this year, short term, long term, anything like that?
For sure. Yeah. So, I'm going to be in Nashville basically the first 2 weeks of March. So there'll be mm-hmm. a bunch of dates, you know, over the span of those 2 weeks that'll, you know, I'll post on social media, speaking of, and get those out that way. I don't have them in front of me or I'd spill them out, but, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, goal for this year is definitely to kind of expand my footprint. You know, the idea is to start in the Southeast where, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like my market is kind of showing itself. Atlanta, Charlotte, you know, that sort of deal. I'd love to get out to Austin for sure as well.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I recently sort of took on a booking agent And we're kind of starting the process of sort of expanding that throughout the Southeast. And then here and there, it'll just be random, honestly, because, you know, I get inquiries to, like, I'm supposed to be booking something in Brooklyn pretty soon. Yeah, just bouncing around, going where people ask me to go. But hopefully by the end of 2025, it's a more organized logistical, I hate to say the word tour, but something of that nature.
Yeah, I gotcha. Now that you mention it with Austin, I think you would probably kill in Texas, just with how everything's like, there's not a certain sound in that scene right now. Like, it's not just Texas country music. It's like literally everything that you could really think of that's all just grouped into that market. That might be a good idea, man. I feel like that'd be a good spot for you.
Yeah, I'd love to get out there. I've been to Austin several times, and it just kind of feels like somewhere I could, you know, get up on stage and make an impression, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure, man. But Alex, thanks a lot again for hopping on. Before we leave, though, if you have any shows or any, say those dates again too for the upcoming couple singles. You said February, I believe, but I'll let you have the floor. So, if anything to plug, anything coming up, the floor is yours.
Yeah, for sure. So Need I Remind You is going to be the next single. Don't have a firm date, honestly, but we're hoping for by the end of February. So in the next few weeks. And then, yeah, I'll have to pull it up. I'm in Nashville the first 2 weeks of March. I'm playing The Listening Room on March 4th. I do know that, which is a big writer's round. I'm excited about. And then there'll be a bunch of dates within those 2 weeks. I just don't have them in front of me right now. So definitely like follow along on Instagram is where those will kind of be, and my website, obviously. But that's really it. I wish I had them in front of me, but I don't.
You're good. Well, hold on. I think I actually have a logistical nightmare. Hold on. I think I have them right here, dude. I'm not even lying. There's on your website, right? Those all updated?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Let me see. Be honest with you. All right. These are from October, November, so they're not.
See, there you go.
I'll just say this. Everyone follow Alex and keep up with this shit, goddammit.
Yeah, exactly. Stay tuned. Yeah, everything is Alex Rogers Music. Instagram, TikTok. That's pretty much all I use.
Right on. So, Alex, thanks for hopping on. This is a fun conversation. Everyone make sure to follow him on all the socials. Definitely listen to his music he has out. I can't tell you guys enough. Like, I was really impressed by it. I think you guys will be too. Also check out Rage Reality, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Just Google us. We'll pop up. So, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make a mess of this self-force line.